Hello, friends. I'm your host, Christina, and you're listening to Radical Stepmoms, a podcast about the good, bad, and really ugly moments about raising a child that you didn't create. Here, I'll discuss the realities of co-parenting, the way stepmotherhood affects a marriage, the relationship with our stepkids, and most of all, navigating the relationship with ourselves. I want each episode to leave you feeling validated, empowered, and oh so radical. So pour yourself a LaCroix, a glass of red, or whatever, and listen in on Radical Stepmoms. Hello, Miranda. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yay. So, Miranda, you reached out and you shared a tidbit of your story and I was like, oh my gosh, yes. So this episode, we're going to talk about, you know, the pressure that is on stepmoms to kind of just morph into the family that was there before them. And we aren't air quoting allowed to, you know, be our own person, have our own opinions, be like, actually, no, I'm not okay with those matching jerseys.
Right.
and what we do as stepmoms to kind of get out of that box that was created before we even came into the picture. So your story just really spoke to that. And I was like, oh my gosh, we need to talk about it. So Miranda, how about you give a little background on you and your blended family, and we can dive right into your story.
Sure. I'm 36. My fiance is 42. So we have a small age gap, nothing major. I had been divorced. Well, we've both been married previously. I had been divorced about 3 years or so by the time we met. And he had been divorced about 10 years.
Oh, wow.
So a long time to establish whatever their life was at the time.
Sure. Yeah.
So we met online and I actually scrolled past him like several times. Mm. I had scrolled past him. I thought he looked nice and nice wasn't my like forte at the time.
Need a bad
and,
boy.
Right. Yeah. So I, St. Patrick's Day rolled around and I was out with a friend and I checked my profile or my app or whatever. And that day I was like, oh, he does look nice. Like, I'm just going to message him. So I bring this up because my profile was like super wordy and I, which is probably no surprise by the time we get to the end of this, but I was just done. Like I had been married before. I had been in a toxic relationship after my divorce. And I was just to a point where I was like, I just want to be like forthright with what I'm looking for, what my expectations are, what I don't want. Mm-hmm. And so I put a lot out there and thought if someone reads this and they're okay with it, like that's a good start. And so his was too, which was what kind of drew me in a little bit more even. And he led with the fact that he had a daughter and had even mentioned in the profile something about having a good relationship with her mom. Okay. And yeah, so it was very prevalent. And so I messaged him that day and we, you know, started talking from there and just hit it off. So I had a heads up that, you know, I was getting into a situation that didn't really, really model what I had seen in past divorce situations. I was open to having or to meeting someone with kids. I have PCOS. So I had gone through fertility treatment when I was married, had miscarried, and just knew that this might be like meeting someone with kids might be the way that I had a family of my own someday. Mm-hmm. So I was very open to it. And, but you almost expect to come into the situation and maybe have to be a peacemaker,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I thought, okay, I would be great for that. You know, I have it in me. I have the capacity. I have the capacity to, you know, love a kid that's not my own. I was open to the idea of adoption, you know? And so I just thought this would, you know, be great. And again, that I would maybe step in and be that maybe a mediator type person and bring some value to the situation. I didn't expect to come into a situation where things were too good.
Ah.
Like the blend was like, I've called it an overblend.
So. Oh yeah. And it's like, we don't want to go in thinking like it, you know, there's the spectrum, right? Like on one end, we don't want the massive high conflict where, you know, we can't co-parent and we can't have conversations and we can't, you know, keep the kids' best interest in mind.
Sure.
But then we don't also want to like vacation together and, right, you know, like do all
and
that
some
stuff.
People do. And, right, and, you know, that's okay. I feel like whatever works for you, as long as it works for all of you.
Everyone. Yes. Right. Yeah. Right. So you came into the situation and you were like, all right, yeah, I'm, you know, the typical, there's probably some, you know, uncomfortable, and you walked in and everything was like really, really comfortable.
Yeah. Very comfortable. Very comfortable.
Okay. So walk us through that. Like, you started dating and what were your first clues of like, ooh, I don't really know about this.
Okay. So, we started dating in March, again, St. Patrick's Day. And so by the time Mother's Day rolled around in May, it had only been a couple of months. And I knew that they got along really well. And I was under the impression that there was a lot of shared experiences as far as like Christmas or birthdays were like joint birthday parties. And so I knew that, you know, there was shared experiences like Christmas, birthday parties were done together. And so I find out that on Mother's Day, he is going to her house, which has kind of become a tradition. And it's him, his mom, and his aunt, who's like a second mom to him, and her, I think, sister and kids. And so he's like making homemade scones to take to her house. Mm. And I'm just like, okay, you know, I mean, it is the mother of his child. And of course, like, I don't have kids of my own. I think that I have a pretty good grip on like normal, like what I feel is normal anyway. And so I was like, maybe I just don't know. Like, I don't, this, you don't see this a lot. Maybe this is just, you know, what a good co-parenting situation looks like.
Yeah.
So, but Mother's Day was the first kind of tip off to how things really were.
Okay. And did you share with him how you were feeling at that point, or was it just kind of too new? Like,
no, I did. We've been really open, both having been married before. Communication is a like a strong suit of ours, of both of ours. And so I don't know that I voiced it like right away, but eventually I spoke to it, you know, not long after, and had said, you know, having really longed for children of my own, that, you know, someday if we ever got to, I mean, we're fresh in a relationship, but we also knew what direction we were hoping that it went. Mm-hmm. And so I was honest and said, you know, if ever someday we are lucky enough, or I'm lucky enough to have, you know, a child of my own, I don't want to share Mother's Day with anyone. Like, I might not even want to see my own mom on Mother's Day, sure, when it's my turn. And I just said, you know, it just seemed odd to me. And, you know, I eventually elaborated more by saying, you know, things like, she's not your mom, you know, she's your daughter's mom, but she has a husband, like she's remarried. And
oh, wow.
Yes. And so yeah, there's a stepdad in the picture as well. And and both of her parents had passed away. And so I empathize with that. And I understand that that day was probably really difficult for her too. But I also felt like, it's not your place to fill that void for her. She's got a child. She has a family of her own, a husband of her own. And so Mother's Day was the first situation where I was like, I think I need to stick around for a solid year before and really get a good feel for like what this is and how they handle holidays and different events that take place in like a cycle, and observe a cycle before I really know. I mean, he checked so many boxes. I called him a game changer from day one. And so I was like, it can't be all bad. Like, I just need to observe it and decide if I can do this, because I was still under the impression that to be together, I had to do this.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Where you have to, again, kind of just step into what's already been established, and right. You don't want to be the one that's like, oh, stepmom shows up and is changing everything. And now there's boundaries.
Right.
But yeah, I think that's kind of like the situation that we find ourselves in when, especially in the beginning, when you're just kind of sitting back as the observer and you're like, all right, what's happening here? Like, you know, I don't want to speak up. And then it gets to a point where you are identifying, okay, this is actually uncomfortable for me and a boundary that I don't like. So where in your story did you like, was there like a, no, I can't, nope, this isn't, you know, like, were they texting too much? Were they still calling each other pet names? Like, what was it?
No, there would be no Miranda here right now. But there was, you know, like social media posts. They were friends on Facebook and she would tag him in things that she thought, you know, hey, you should check this out. Saw this and thought of you kind of stuff that made me uncomfortable that eventually he put an end to. But the real breaking point for me was our first Christmas together. So
tell me more.
we had the first thing was, so because there was this overblend that bled into their families even. So her husband's family lives out of state. So when they were having these blended experiences, it was his family and her family still, like two married people. And so his family thought really highly of her and were still connected with her and expected her presence at certain things. And so our first Christmas together on Christmas Eve, we were at his aunt's house and they had gifts for Bio Mom and her husband that they asked us to, you know, take back to on their behalf. And I was like, you know, I'm just getting acclimated with his family. So I'm like, oh yeah, of course. Like I'll go along with anything, like me.
Right.
And so we like carry these things out of the house. And in my head, I'm like, what on earth am I even holding right now? Yeah. And so there was that on Christmas Eve.
So just to pause that for a second, because I'm sure people are also thinking this. What in those moments, I mean, again, this is early on, but like, did you feel any, like, how did you feel welcomed by his family? Was it just like,
yeah, I did, because I think for everyone involved, my fiance, his family, and even Bio Mom, that it was like, oh, great. Here's someone else to add into our mix. Like everyone was, nobody was resentful of my presence. I think that there was just an expectation that I'd be plugged in to this existing family dynamic.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, compared to some scenarios, that's a wonderful thing to walk into far as their, you know, being welcoming of you and not being like a, they have to choose sides sort of thing. Right. I mean, and, you know, it's been 10 years, it was 10 years since they had been together. She's remarried. So obviously people have moved on, but still to be walking out of the house carrying gifts for her, like, okay.
It was an experience for sure. Yeah. And, you know, and because it was so normalized amongst all of them, I was in situations time and time again. I mean, pretty much consistently those first several times I was around his family, where they tend to kind of just sit and visit and reminisce. And there were stories after story after story of things where they casually had brought her into the story, where it was like a gut punch to me, because I was remarried, and granted, we didn't have children, or I was married previously. We didn't have children together. But my family still wouldn't sit around and just tell a story about my ex-husband, because they know that I would find that disrespectful of my current person.
Right.
So that was a boundary that had to be set at some point.
And who set that boundary? Was your fiance like aware that you were kind of cringing inside? Did you have to communicate that? Or
yeah, I communicated that because it was normal to him too. And once I brought it to his attention and kind of gave him like, here's what the flip side of this could look like if you were in my shoes and this was my family doing it, you know, he was able to relate to it. And I will say 100 times over that he has validated my feelings at every single turn. And and I think that, you know, he had the same expectation or same hope initially that, hey, this won't rock the boat. We'll just plug her right in and we'll just keep going right along. Mm-hmm. But as soon as I communicated how I felt, it became important to him too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, that's like, again, I mean, such a huge blessing, because I think sometimes, you know, we're in the situation where our partners get defensive, or, I mean, I've even seen, I think I've shared it even on Instagram, where I've seen videos or TikToks or stories or whatever of blended families. And, you know, the stepmom is made to be this, oh, we used to be like this, we used to be able to do this, and then my, you know, partner, co-parent found someone else and they're not okay. And it's just like, we're like doomsday villain. And right. It's like, okay, that's great. And, you know, but like you said, and you know, it has to work for everyone. And it's, like we can't just be dropped in to a certain situation and not have feelings about it either, you know, being like, actually, yeah, I'm, this is fine. Like, this is great. Or I'm not completely on board with this. Like, we still should have a space to be able to share that with our partners and for, you know, your partner to be like, oh yeah, sure. Like, that makes sense. Like, that's huge.
Right. That initially the first time I ever voiced a concern that he wasn't. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to paint the picture that it was his instant response. You know, there was a little bit of resistance from him at first. And even as we've grown and, you know, the conversations have progressed, and I think even probably become expected at certain times, there's not resistance from him, but I think it takes him a minute to process, how am I going to carry this out with her, with my daughter, and make, you know, and kind of minimize impact for everybody. So sometimes there's that period of kind of embracing it, and then we get to that point. So it's not always our first step, but it's a process.
Yeah. So what would you say were kind of the biggest boundaries that you kind of put up that, you know, I'm not okay with this anymore, you know, this needs to change?
So when we first started dating, they had quite a routine. So there was a morning and an evening routine, and his, like, he has like an hour long commute to work in the opposite direction of his daughter's school. And so on weekday mornings that he had her, bio mom had a key to his place, mm-hmm. and would come over in the mornings. He would leave for work at some point. So they kind of started their day together, and she would proceed to get their daughter ready for school, and then even get herself ready the rest of the way for work. It was, you know, first thing in the morning. So when I first started coming to his place, there was like a pair of her shoes by the door and her curling iron on the bathroom counter, and just these things. And he even called that himself, where he was like, oh, I already told her, like, she's going to have to get this stuff out of here. It's weird now. And so there was that. And then in the evening, there was this, like, a family phone call would take place. So whichever parent had their daughter, they would call the other parent, like, for her to tell them goodnight and kind of talk about her day. But
this was every night?
This was every night.
And how old was she at this point?
13.
Okay.
13. And even had her own phone at this point. So, and I think that some of these things really just carried over from, like, when she was really little, right? Like, I understand them not wanting to miss her opening presents when she's five, and it's a little bit more exciting, and she still believes in Santa and all these things. And even for that, it was like, finally, I got to a point, because it was like, okay, you're starting your day with her and you're ending your day with her. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's on the phone with his daughter, but she's on the call too. And I would hear the conversation take place, and it would be, you know, both of them. And there was this banter between them. They started dating when they were like 15 years old. Mm. And so they have a connection that you, like, really can't undo. Mm-hmm. They shared that intimate experience of having a daughter together, and they grew up together. And so, you know, there's a connection there that really can't be undone, but I just don't want to see it in front of my face.
Sure. Yeah.
And so it got to a point where I was like, you know, well, what had happened was he had had a bad day after work one day. Came in and he was just kind of in a mood and had had a day, and he was honest with me, you know, and kind of a grump. And then he gets on the phone with them and he's like, hi guys. Oh. Like, his tone changes. And I know it was for his daughter's sake, you know, he's not going to, like, mm-hmm. get on the phone and be in a mood with her over his work day, but his ex-wife got that out of him too.
Right.
Like a different version of him. And so even to end the call, you know, good night to his daughter, I love you, I love you. And then bye to her after just saying good night and I love you felt too close for comfort.
Yeah.
And so I had kind of spoke to that and just said, you know, I think she's old enough where I understand wanting to end your day with her and tell her goodnight at the end of the day or see how her day went, but she's old enough to have that phone call by herself. Mm-hmm. So I had, you know, spoke to that initially, and that was one of the first boundaries that got put up.
And was that, he was receptive to that, like, you know,
he was, it took him a minute because I think his first thought was like, oh no, are you attacking me talking to my daughter at the end of the day?
Right. Which it's no, but I want the same version that they get.
Right. Well, and it's with so many of the things that we've had to encounter and so many of the boundaries that we've put in place, it's been like, I'm not attacking what you're doing with your daughter, but there's a way to have the same relationship and the same experience with her without your ex being so prevalent.
Right. Yeah.
So it's never been about, you know, and it's not even been about her being extracted from the picture. It's been about, as we've grown together, wanting us to have our own life and our own memories and our own traditions, our own Christmas morning, you know? So that's been a big part of it.
What was that experience like for, like, did Bio Mom have any opinions about it? Did she, you know, say anything when these boundaries were being put up?
Yeah. I mean, if I'm being honest, my assumption is that there were probably conversations that I'm not privy to. You know, I think he probably, for the sake of damage control, only like led some information my way. Sure. And at first, when he first told me about having kind of a come to Jesus talk with her about like the social media post and, you know, because I had met her, I had been at her house Christmas morning back when I thought I could do these things. Mm-hmm. And then, so I mean, our first exchanges were okay. They were cordial. They were fine. And I don't know that she knew that I felt anything to the contrary. And so it might've caught her a little bit off guard, mm-hmm. but
so, you know, I think at the beginning, when he first expressed some things to her and kind of put the first boundaries in place over the social media posts where she was tagging him and the nighttime routine and that she didn't really have to facilitate those phone calls any longer. To me, he told me that she was respectful and that she said, I don't want to make her uncomfortable. So, but I think at that time it was like, okay, I'll respect that because I still think she might fit into the box somewhere. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
So she was remaining hopeful. Yeah, I think so. I think to this day, sometimes I'm like, does she not remember that we put boundaries in place? Why would she think we're going to do X when we weren't going to do P, you know, like,
uh-huh.
So sometimes I still sense that there's a resistance and almost just a lack of acceptance with that things are different now.
Mm-hmm. And how did your stepdaughter kind of acclimate to these changes?
So they have both parented, I think, from a place of guilt for her being a child of divorce. Mm-hmm. And I mean, early on, he said to me, my daughter doesn't want for anything. Like, I want her to have everything that she wants. And the only reason that I didn't run for the hills when I heard that comment was because I had met her and she was a really well-rounded, great, respectful kid. And, you know, I didn't meet her for several months. I want to be clear. Like, we waited quite a while before introducing her and I, and, you know, she had been nothing but great. And so I don't know to what extent now, like what we're experiencing with her is that she's 15 now, you know, we're into the thick of the teenage years.
Right.
And she's experienced some of these transitions. But as a result of their parenting styles being pretty similar and pretty lax, and letting her have a lot of the say in decisions that are made. Now with things being handled differently on his side, where he has to advocate for what we decide is best, she has had opposition. But the interesting thing is she doesn't have opposition to me. And I can tell you that I absolutely would as a 15-year-old girl. My own parents have had a very dysfunctional marriage, and they're still married to this day. And I spent my whole life waiting for them to get divorced. Mm. And I remember being a teenager and thinking, if either of them ever date somebody, I'll have nothing to do with it. Mm. And so I have that perspective, and I kind of wait for it to happen, because I don't think at 15 that she needs a single solid reason to dislike me. She can just choose. And with the changes that have taken place, so we had our own birthday party for her this year. Mm. Last year, we did not spend Christmas morning with her mom and stepdad. And some of these changes, you know, he's had these conversations with her in private to allow her the space to respond genuinely and not feel that she's in front of me and she has to worry about my feelings. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she's had some opposition and really not understanding why it has to be this way. And her and her mom have both said, you know, well, it's always been this way.
Mm.
And, you know, his stance with his daughter is, you know, things are different. They're not bad. Like bad, like different doesn't equal bad. Mm-hmm. And she is reasonable enough to say, no, I know, I just don't understand why.
Mm-hmm.
And so he has said, you know, well, we have Miranda now, and we have Miranda's family now. And that's the thing, was that when I came into the picture in our first Christmas, which was my breaking point, my thought was, oh my gosh, like nobody understands that I'm coming into this with my own family and my right. own friends yeah. and thoughts and feelings and traditions and things that are important to me. Mm-hmm. And that I have hopes and dreams and goals for what I want for my family someday. There's things that I've waited to experience that aren't really to be shared with his ex-wife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that's really been the message with her, is different isn't bad. And she'll buy into that, and she'll have a response, you know, a negative thought about it, that she just opposes it because it's different.
Mm-hmm.
But once we have gotten through the things, we've gone through her birthday, where she had two like super great birthday parties, and she had two super great Christmases. There's nothing that can be said after that, that
right.
there was no lack of anything. And it's, you know, he's even said, it's just more people that want to like love us and celebrate you on your birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, he's kind of taken that stance with her. Mm-hmm. With his ex, it's been a little more like, at first, I think he still felt like he owed her an explanation, because they had fostered this friendship. And so for him to like speak to her about anything, I don't think was off the table. Mm. And as the boundaries kind of closed in around us, it became less and less appropriate for him to offer her an explanation, because this is simply what we're doing with our life. And it's not your concern. Your daughter's your concern. You know, and I think that there have been things that have felt like she had an opposition that were kind of pitched to him as, you know, I don't know why you want to do this to your daughter. And I'm like, no. We're both like, we've assessed this. We put her first all the time. We've mm-hmm. already assessed this and recognized that she might not love it, but she is fine.
Yeah.
She might not know it yet, but she's okay. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, why as an adult, don't you understand that too?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. And you know, anyone who, you know, when we're talking about boundaries, anyone that is uncomfortable with a boundary being put in place was benefiting from that boundary, right? And that's not
absolutely
to say that they aren't, you know, that they're a bad person or whatever, but it was comfortable for her. And now you're changing things up. And, you know, I think everyone needs a little grace, even bio moms, when we're putting up a boundary.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it gets icky when they're mm-hmm. saying, oh, well, I want to keep it this way, because, and they're using the kid as the reason, when, you know, like your partner was saying, she's fine. She's going to be right. just fine. Even if we change things up. So I'm going to pause right here. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, I want to ask you, so we've given us kind of bits and pieces of things. I want to know, you know, kind of what your ideal relationship with the ex is and what is it right now? So you'll answer that when we come back.
Sounds good.
All right, Radical Mamas, I want to talk about the first resource I found as a stepmom. Stepmom Magazine was a game changer for how I navigate this role. It's an online magazine with articles from all the top step parenting experts on all things stepmom. Each issue is packed with insights, tips, and validation from licensed therapists, published authors, and stepfamily professionals who know and live the stepmom life. Stepmom Magazine also has ebooks specific to special topics like disengaging, being a full-time stepmom, parental alienation, and so much more. They are all available to download right now. I subscribed years ago and it was exactly what I needed to feel less alone and more supported. Getting that monthly email telling me the new issue is out is like getting a warm hug from another stepmom. To subscribe, head to stepmommagazine.com and use the code RADICAL20 to save 20%. If you find something that makes you say, yes, hell yes, me too, send me a DM on Instagram and let me know. I love hearing from you. Again, that's stepmommagazine.com and use the code RADICAL20 to save you 20%. All right, so we're back and I want to hear, you know, what your ideal relationship with the ex is, with all of your, you know, boundaries in place, what's comfortable for you, and what is it actually like?
Sure. You know, my ideal situation is exactly what we have right now, but with her acceptance of it. You know, I think that we've put the boundaries in place with everything that we've needed to thus far. And I can understand, like you mentioned, having grace. And I do, I really do empathize with that. You know, I've said in different scenarios that he had an investment in me, which allowed him to understand and accept my thoughts and feelings and stance on things. She understandably doesn't have that. Mm-hmm. And even his daughter, even though we have a good relationship, she doesn't have the same investment in my feelings either. And mm-hmm. so I understand it not being something that she gravitates towards initially, but I do hope in time that she starts to believe the same stance we take with his daughter, which is different isn't bad. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely okay. And so I've gotten more comfortable. I'm more comfortable at drop-offs and transitions mm-hmm. and everything for the most part, because I feel respected. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, when I started to be involved in those things or even just crossing paths at events and stuff, I was super uncomfortable because I didn't know if I was going to have to bear witness to their familiar, almost brotherly, sisterly, like jabby, jokey kind of banter that made me uncomfortable. Ew. And so I felt a certain way. And I was nervous about it and not knowing, like, am I going to leave here super pissed or am I going to leave here feeling respected on both sides? Mm-hmm. And as he's put boundaries in place, it's allowed me to go, nope, he has my back. We're both in this together. These are our boundaries. And I'm assured that in those moments, I'm going to be respected, at least by the person whose respect I need the most.
Right.
And so I just hope that someday that she accepts it too, because she's not outwardly malicious. She's a good mom. She's a good mom to their daughter. I don't always agree. Like I said, I think their parenting styles are a little lax. But I do respect her as a mom, and, but she does have a way with my fiance still where her displeasure is known. And sometimes it's more jabby than others. The first time that she really verbalized, or, you know, in a text message, I guess, a distaste with something was over the birthday party.
Mm.
At least that I was aware of, when we decided to have this, well, I guess Christmas too. Maybe this was Christmas that I'm even thinking of, where she said to him, you know, I thought that, like, I had looked forward to doing this kind of stuff all together. I thought, and these words are so key to what things used to be. I thought we were welcoming someone new into our family.
Oh, what? We are? This isn't a sister wife type of thing, man.
Right. Right. And then she said, but now there's this horrible division. And I literally, when he shared this with me in a text message, I took a screenshot of the word divorce and circled the word, like the letters D-I-V. I was like, divorce, divide. Like, there's supposed to be a division here.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's supposed to be a division. And without getting into like details that really aren't mine to share, she was the catalyst for them. And so even more, I'm like, what do you mean? Like, you don't like how I, she kind of had it made. Forgive. She had sweetheart, BFF, who she was with for all these years and kind of grew up with. Mm-hmm. And then the man she ultimately chose to be married to. Mm-hmm. And I think had the best of both worlds. And who would fault her for?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's like a huge indicator of how her thinking is, right? Where, you know, she's using the we and the R and stuff. Like, that's pretty big indicator. So that's where her head was at. I'm curious of where the stepdad was in all of this. And do you have any idea of where like his comfort level was? Because just to like clarify here, before you came into the picture, he was fine with his wife going to her ex's house every morning and like getting ready and stuff. Like, that was cool for him. So she found a person that was completely fine with this dynamic. And then, you know, you're the one that comes in and is like, ah, no. So what was stepdad like? Right. What is he like?
So this was actually a question that got asked very early on when I first voiced some concern that my fiance said to me, well, like, how has he done it all these years? Like, I'm just kind of curious. Like, it seems odd that he's gone along with our situation all these years, but you have issues. Like genuinely, like, why do you think that is? So my theory isn't a very warm and fuzzy one. And it is that, so I've been around him and I think that he's friendly. I feel more comfortable when he's around because I feel like a little bit of camaraderie. Mm-hmm. He's friendly enough, but he's very quiet, very reserved. And so I'll say first, I don't know that anyone ever knew how he felt. I don't know that it was ever even considered.
Mm.
And I think the reason that was probably okay was that I think she is probably a little bit more outspoken. And also, I'm sorry to say, but he was the one that came into the picture that ultimately ended the marriage.
Oh.
And so my thought is that he probably feels pretty secure, pretty safe. He was the chosen one. And he may also harbor some guilt. Like, I'm the one that stepped into the picture. And so who am I to say he can't be at his daughter's birthday party?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and I don't really know. I don't know for sure. But in recent conversations where about like the birthday party, where there was some distaste from her and there was kind of this back and forth volley between my fiance and the ex, finally I was fed up. You know, we have full transparency now when she communicates with him for the sole purpose that I do think sometimes I don't find her high conflict and intentionally malicious, mm-hmm. but I think that his desire to be pleasing to everybody involved means that sometimes when she throws a jab, it works.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't have that. We can't have that. And so with the last volley over the birthday party, I said, I've had enough. I said, why don't you ask her what her husband thinks? Because I promise you, he doesn't know how much she's advocating for sharing her life with you still.
Mm.
And so he did. He was like, okay, bye. Like, you know, and because I think too, that by me coming in as an outsider and kind of exposing some of these things, I feel like her opposition has been a little bit of a testament to maybe some of her character. In that it, like you said, like it was serving her. The lack of boundaries served her, mm-hmm. and it was kind of painted in a way that was like, oh, we're just this great co-parenting and blended family and everything's wonderful. But it was because it served a purpose mm-hmm. for her. And mm-hmm. now that that's being removed, it's less appealing. Right. And so yeah. I think he's a little like in tune now with that and recognizing it. And I think that he had to put a lot aside to get to a place where he could blend with them. Mm-hmm. And seeing this kind of less favorable side of her makes it a little easier for him to tap into some of those old feelings of like, you know what? Yeah, like you're probably not on the up and up, you know? And so he's never asked that question. Silence.
Mm.
Zero response to that question.
Wow.
So nobody really knows. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I would imagine she runs a tight ship over there in that relationship.
that would be my guess. I can only assume.
Yeah. Yeah. So interesting. I think just, you know, those establishing those boundaries and you know, when someone, like you said, an outsider comes in and is like, actually, this is a little odd. You know, people see it as just like the norm and this is the way we've always done it. But, you know, like you had to advocate not only for your own feelings and your own comfort levels, but to establish your own sense of family and that you have your own yeah. traditions and you have your own things that you do and incorporating your, you know, hopes and dreams and things, and not just adhering to, you know, what the ex wants for her daughter out of guilt or out of comfort because she was having her cake and eating it too, you know,
at a shared birthday party,
right? Like literal cake, you know?
It's, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, this last Christmas when things were decided that it was going to be separate, you know, again, I thought like, and she was, you know, using words with him, like, I'm not sure this is what, why you want to ruin your relationship with your daughter over this.
Oh my gosh.
And that's when I was like, okay, like this isn't about you. It's not even about just her. We put her, like we prioritize her feelings, but it's about us. Like we moved in together last year. And so I had even said to him when we were still toiling with what to do, how do we address this? How do we handle it? We know that I tried, it didn't really work. It doesn't seem necessary at this point. And I said, why are we going to put up a Christmas tree and decorate a Christmas tree if we're not celebrating Christmas at our house? If we're going to her house, why go through all the work?
Right.
And it just kind of exposed that, like, of course we want a Christmas tree our first year together. And of course we want it to have meaning and value and, you know, be about something that's important to us. And so that's when we were like, you know, yes, we want our own. We want our own Christmas morning and she'll be fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. The holidays will really bring out those types of things. I remember doing that.
Absolutely.
Even without the blended family stuff, but just after having my daughter, because when we have just my stepson, you know, it was, oh, we're just going to go to my in-laws for Christmas. And then when I have like our daughter, I'm like, okay, but I want to spend Christmas in my own home so she can have her own like experience around the tree and all this stuff. And then I want her to spend Christmas with my family. And yeah, it's like holidays. That's why it's so freaking stressful.
And you deserve that experience too. Like you deserve to have that. Like, yes, you stepped into a stepmom role, but now you have it. We talk about it all the time. It's a completely different experience when it's your own. And you deserve those memories and those moments unfiltered through outside people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So you navigated you walked into this family dynamic, there were expectations being placed on you. Now that you are in the space of like where you want to be, you know, essentially, maybe you seek a little bit more understanding from BioMom, but don't we all? what advice for the stepmoms listening who are feeling like they don't have their own identity in their own family, that they're still, you know, trying to establish boundaries and what, you know, they feel comfortable with BioMom. What would be your advice to these stepmoms that are kind of struggling with that?
You know, I would really suggest just listening to yourself, like listen to those gut instincts and, you know, explore them. I do think that sometimes you have to pump the brakes a little bit. I had to make sure that I wasn't reacting out of insecurity, you know, and make sure that I'm really acting from a place of just wanting to establish our own family dynamic, because it's easy to do. There's an ex in the picture, you know, who wants to rub elbows with an ex? It's not normal unless you're in this kind of a situation. So I would say to really listen to yourself and explore those feelings. And it's imperative that you have a partner who will listen. You know, I see that all the time in these support groups that are so valuable, and people, you know, asking for advice on these kinds of situations where they're kind of up against a brick wall. And you literally cannot fight this fight by yourself.
Right.
Absolutely cannot. And so having a partner who will listen and then finding resources, you know, I have to tell you how I found Radical Stepmom. What it was my first resource, because I was at my wit's end and I was like driving to work one day and I thought, when do I even have time to look into a resource? Got to be something out there. And I was like, a podcast. I bet there's a podcast. And so I just like typed in Stepmom and Radical Stepmom came up and I listened to the first episode and like, you know, the circumstances were different. My story obviously was a little different than most. But there was common threads. And I was like driving to work and I'm like, I can't cry right now. I'm about to walk into work. But it was just like, it was like someone popped a balloon and it just let some of the pressure out, just to hear people be like, the word disengage came up. And so finding resources, second, I would say number two, find a resource. And disengaging has been a godsend for me. Just learning, and I'm still learning how to read myself when I'm over a 15-year-old and I just need to bow out for a little bit. But I explain that to my partner and he understands where I'm coming from and respects it. And now even identifies when I'm doing it. And he's like, oh, she's doing that disengaging thing. I'm going to let her be, you know, I'm just going to let her go to her room and read a book. Yeah. And because he knows I need it to survive. And that's been huge. And just learning how and when, and even with situations with BioMom, because recognizing that these boundaries needed to happen and being so sensitive and triggered by the overblend that I felt existed before I came into the picture, I'm hypersensitive to it. I'm not going to lie. You know, she texts and I'm instantly like, oh, here we go. Is this one of those moments where I feel like we have to advocate for ourselves? But it's recognizing that I don't always have to go to bat either. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I can sit back and he's capable and he might not do it perfect every time or address it the way that I want him to or wish that he did. But overall, his message is the same.
Yeah.
You know, and so yeah, those are all things that have gotten me here.
Yeah, I think especially in this, because we're always going to need the support of our partners, right? But I think especially when we're up against, you know, feeling uncomfortable with the relationship with BioMom, like you don't have, if our partner isn't willing to bend in any way, I mean, I didn't have this problem when my husband and I first started dating. He's always hated BioMom with a passion and and has never had that kind of, but my husband has had a really strong friend group and a large community of friends and with all like the same shared interest in things. And I felt like an outsider. I felt like, cause I didn't come from that community. And I was, you know, I met my husband at the gym. He, you know, where I'm trying, like he was a skydiver. So all of his skydiving friends and I was super uncomfortable because all of his exes, even including the BioMom, came from that community. And so all of these people knew all of his exes, which like I'm thinking like it was by a mom and there was like two others. But like I was the outsider and my husband was like still really close with these people. And like, he would use like pet names and stuff with them. And I was just like, I do not fit here. Like I do not know how to interact. I feel super uncomfortable. And you really, what you said brought something up that I hadn't thought about in a while. Of once you know that once your partner knows how you're feeling about a situation, and once you've established like something needs to change, you know, this makes you uncomfortable, whatever. And then you walk into that situation again, there is so much security of being like, you know, not on guard of something's going to happen. Yeah. It's going to make me uncomfortable, because you're absolutely right. Like before I told my husband about all those like certain interactions and stuff that just made me like, oh my God, like I feel like I shouldn't be here because I'm just going to get my feelings hurt. I was able to just like actually interact with people and not be scared. All that to say, like communicating with your partner and being able to describe your experience, and how certain actions and behaviors and things really impact you, is probably the hardest part, right? Because it's super vulnerable explaining mm-hmm. to your partner how you feel. Especially if something has been established for, in your case, 10 years. But once you, you know, break that or open that door, you know, like you have to do that, or else like, what else are you going to do? Are you going to be uncomfortable for the rest of your life? Are you going to sacrifice your own boundaries? Like that's not sustainable at all. So
no.
Yeah. Kudos to your husband.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah. When's the wedding, if I can ask?
We don't have a date yet. We get asked all the time and I'm always like, I don't know, ask COVID, you know?
Right,
but,
yeah.
No, I mean, that's all kind of clearing up, you know, thankfully. And so we have looked at a venue and I think we're probably settled on it, but we just haven't picked a date. A lot of these things that have gone on have made out my person, but thinking that I don't want to start our marriage, having this to have some of these conversations. I want us to kind of get this foundation built, get these boundaries in place, and feel like some, it's never going away. She's never going away. His daughter will always be here, you know. So I feel like, you know, we're just kind of waiting for some of these things to, well, I'm waiting anyway, to feel like we have a little bit more of a solid foundation. I, like I said, I know without a doubt he's my person. I'm not intentionally waiting, but I'm not in a major rush. I feel like with some of these issues that we've had and just the boundaries and all that, I just don't want her having as much space in our life before we're married. I don't want to start our marriage that way. I want us to get to feel some of the bliss, you know? And minimize some of these conversations we have to have. We've, you know, lasted about a year now, and so we've kind of encountered each thing, each holiday, and, you know, set those boundaries in place that make me feel like, okay, I think we've got it. Now I just want to feel some breathing room, you know, sure. So we can focus on fun stuff like planning a wedding and what we want our future to be. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And your stepdaughter is 15. So you only have like 3 more years. Like,
yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah. You know, it's so funny because a lot of my friends have young kids. And as someone who like hasn't had my own kids, I'm always like, oh, you know, you'll at least be able to give me like tips if the day ever comes, God willing. And then now I'm like, well, wait till you get to the teenage years. Now the tables have turned and I've got some advice for you.
Right. Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Well, Miranda, thank you so much. We, listeners, yes, we endured some technology difficulties on this episode. So if you've made it, you're not going crazy. You're probably hearing a lot of different robotic noises, but we made it through. Miranda, thank you so much for sharing your story. Again, you. I think it's super important for stepmoms to be able to enter, you know, to reflect and advocate for themselves and what they feel, you know, is important to them. And, you know, we can't just morph into the life that was established before we came into it. Right. So,
right. Well, thank you for giving us this platform and letting us kind of come on here and share our stories.
Yay. You're welcome. It's my pleasure. It's my passion.
Even with technology problems.
Yeah. all right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. I will put Miranda's contact info in the show notes if you want to stop by and say hi. As always, be well and stay radical. All right, ladies, the episode is over, but do you want a little more? Come find me on Instagram and join the community at Radical Stepmoms Podcast, or schedule a one-on-one session and get that personalized support, or become a Radical member and gain access to exclusive content like bonus episodes and merch. Radical Stepmoms is so much bigger than a podcast. Check out the details in the notes on this episode.